Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go. And Marsha, if you could keep your lunch noises down to a minimum.
Sorry, I'll mute myself until I want to go.
That would be fantastic.
Also, hopefully a pizza is going to arrive for me before the end.
Sweet Jesus Christ.
I like the idea that we arrange all of our busiest things to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to do some ballet.
Take a deep breath. Welcome to the Box Set Pod. My name's Harold, this is Jamie.
Hey.
There he is. What have you been doing this week, Jamie?
This week?
That's fascinating. Welcome. Tonight, a whole host of guests, as ever, join us to talk about Deadwood and other things. In the background, you can already hear Marsha in Canada having a tea. In fact, Hello. Let's meet everybody. So, this week, Marsha from Canada. She's not originally from Canada, but she's in Canada. She's an activist. She's got ADD or ADHD. She's always got to be doing at least 12 things at once. And she's here to defend women and minorities. Welcome to the podcast.
That's my exclusive role.
Marsha. And representing the Irish this evening is Christian Talbot. Excellent Hello. Stand-up comic. How are you doing, Christian?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Tiernan, less excellent stand-up comic from London, joins us. The only reason he's less good is because he doesn't have an Irish accent, which instantly removes 5 or 10%.
It is hard. I have tried putting one on, but people don't like it.
Could you...
Irish.
Okay, at the end of this podcast, if we remember, Christian and Tiernan are going to have a conversation with each other in each other's accents.
Sounds great.
And also, at the end of the podcast, you're going to hear what happened just before this podcast started, when Matt from London answered his Skype just as he was closing his basement, his torture basement door. It was one of the most terrifying things we've ever heard, but let's welcome him anyway. It's the posh lad from London, Matthew Wandless.
Hello.
He is. And also, of course, Jack, our work experience boy. Not important, not intelligent, but always here.
How do,
Jack. Now, let's just catch up where we were last week. Jack was getting a group beatdown, record numbers on the podcast last week. We had 7 people telling Jack that he was an absolute idiot for not giving Kimmy Schmidt any more than 17 minutes chance. And we promised Jack that if he watched the first 4 episodes in full by this week of Kimmy Schmidt, we would all watch the first episode of Peaky Blinders by the next time we do a podcast, and I mean the one after this, because Jack loves Peaky Blinders. Jack, how have you got on?
Can there be an extension of that 4 episodes to next week?
Oh, I was really looking forward to Peaky Blinders.
So was I, but now, Matt, we're never going to watch it.
No, done.
It doesn't appeal to me. But...
Say that again, Jack?
I just can't bring myself to do it, I'm sorry. I just can't bring myself to do it. Maybe one day.
Jack, that's why we gave you the incentive of spreading, of literally doubling Peaky Blinders' audience.
More than doubling.
That's true. There were 6 of us.
I probably wouldn't have watched it.
I'm actually fine with that. I have no desire to watch it.
Oh, yeah, so excited.
I would have pretended to watch it, but I wouldn't have watched it.
Jack,
so. Your
grandparents fought and died in wars, right? And all you had to do was sit on your rectum and watch 3 episodes of something, and you couldn't do that in 7 days.
I'll try next week. But Better Call Saul and House of Cards, you know.
Yes, I've watched those as well.
Or can I just say, I've just watched the last episode of Better Call Saul.
I've not watched it yet.
I'll just say is, I do genuinely now think that it is better than Breaking Bad.
Actually. So do I.
Yeah, I think
it's absolutely fantastic.
Well, Breaking Bad's not that good, so, you know.
Oh, well, let's not go down that dirty road.
Back in your basement.
I'm starting to think that Matt is purposely playing up to his cynical role on this podcast now, but I'm not... Not sure.
If everyone liked everything, it would be boring.
But if you liked something, it'd be amazing.
I like plenty of things. The one time I came on here and tried to like something, you tore me apart.
Which one was it?
That was The Wire.
Oh, I love The Wire. It's brilliant. I know, but
yeah, all you did was flag it off all episode, playing devil's advocate like a prick.
what was great was the Wi-Fi stretched prick out there, Matt. Like a prick. Okay, Deadwood. We're going to be talking that in a moment. The rest of us have all watched, apart from Jack and Jamie, the rest of us have only watched one episode of Deadwood. Oh. Can't wait to talk about that. Also, I've got a quiz for us to play tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Holy shit.
Can you hear the shock of people thinking he's done some preparation for this podcast? And Jamie's got your latest TV news. So what's happening, Jamie?
First of all, can I just say that we did a few weeks ago, Ben slagged off O.J. Simpson versus... the America, whatever it was.
I don't remember what he said about it.
America. He said it was the people. Yeah, he said it was a bit rubbish, and I can confirm it's brilliant, and you should definitely watch. It's an amazing story. It's called the American Crime Story: O.J. Simpson versus the People.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
It's on. Are you been watching it too?
Yeah,
are you not
great.
Loving it?
I am loving it.
I think John Travolta is so creepy, but he's so good in it.
Is his face prosthetic, or is that his actual face now?
That is his face. It's just over the years, it's just, yeah, it's taken a beating. But isn't it an amazing story as well? Like, the O.J. Simpson trial itself is just such an incredible story to listen to. I just can't believe that he got... I mean, it's amazing that he got away with it. It's an amazing story.
It's interesting that we've talked recently, or I've talked recently a lot about my hatred of whodunits because I know the ending. And this one, you definitely know the ending of it. And it is fascinating, you know. You kind of, at least five or six times an episode, Sarah and I turn to each other and go, and he fucking got away with it.
Yeah, yeah, that is it. That's what makes it even better, just knowing all that stuff that he got away. And also, it's fun. Like, the only bit that annoys me about it is that when they dwell the Kardashian family, because I feel like I'm trying to make a little point about, the Kardashians became fame-hungry after the O.J. Simpson
How
trial.
How do you think this TV series got commissioned? Like, how many people pitch the story of O.J. Simpson?
Yeah,
like a lot.
That's true.
And somebody, you can hear in the commissioning process, you can hear someone saying, but this one, the most popular TV show in the world is probably the Kardashians. This one is going to have the Kardashians viewpoint in it. And they are kind of royalty in it, aren't they? They are whiter than white, squeakier than squeaky.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And David Schwimmer's a little bit annoying, but he's the only sort of... I think that he's the only sort of bad spot in the show for me. What was that bong?
That sounded terrifying.
Who's making like a weird atomic bomb noises with their nose? No one's going to admit to that.
It sounded like someone fired a gunshot in a canyon.
Just do a quick register. I can hear Marcia. I can hear Christian and Tien and Jack. Are you alive?
Yep, all alive and kicking.
Alive, smashing.
Wasn't anything here.
Okay.
Oh, all right, we'll carry on then. I've got some news anyway. I'll get through the news very quickly.
I think Christian's been watching OJ as well, haven't you, Christian?
Oh, have you?
No, I haven't. No.
Oh, sorry. You popped up a second ago as if you had. Okay, carry on, Jamie.
So, you know, you might not like Downton Abbey, and it might be finishing, but there is a chance that they're going to make a film out of it. So it's just finishing in America. Americans are going apeshit because they really like it and they want it to continue. So Julian Fellowes, in a recent interview, said that there's a very good chance, if they can get the cast together, and if he doesn't get too busy making other shows like The Gilded Age, which is coming on NBC next year, and he's also made Dr. Thorne, which has started on ITV. I doubt anyone's watched it yet, but that's meant to be quite good. But if you can get everyone together, there's a very good chance that there might be a Downton Abbey movie coming our way. Are we excited?
It's just terrible, isn't it? America is responsible for such horror in the world.
It is. That's correct.
In other news, I wanted to mention that there's this great article in The Guardian I read, and it's about binge watching and how it could be bad for your mental health.
Why?
There's an article. I put a link to the Guardian actual article on the website, and it just talks about the fact that with binge watching, The House of Cards was released the weekend. Lots
so
of
good, that. So good.
Couldn't agree more. But research suggests that it may cause higher stress, anxiety, and depression when shows finish, because it leaves this huge feeling of emptiness in our lives afterwards. So that's the study. That's what it's looking at.
Let's go to Matt, because he's always got a huge feeling of emptiness in his life.
Yep, that's me.
Have you started? Have you picked up House of Cards yet? We've been having a chat off air about Matt losing interest in the early season 3, I think, which I understand, but it's worth picking up again, Matt. What's happening at the moment is phenomenal.
I have plans to do so.
Okay, good, good. Is that all the news, Jamie?
That's all your news.
Okay, quiz time. Let's see if anyone can get two points, okay? Your name is your buzzer. You have to say your name to buzz in. If you buzz in... Who is breathing heavily?
Seriously, someone is just breathing on their microphone.
Who is it? Jamie, breathe into your microphone.
All right.
Just through your nose. Yes,
that's
you.
It.
It's you.
Can't
it's bloody you.
Not,
I
you
knew.
Not, no.
When
no,
you listen
you,
back to
no,
this podcast,
no,
you does not, anybody disagree no. that it's Jamie?
No.
No.
Come on.
Okay. Exactly. Hugh, I've spent 10 years with him on the radio listening to that nose. Jesus. Right. Try not to breathe through your nose, Jamie.
All right.
Question number one. First. Where's it gone? Hang on, I've lost my quiz.
This is brilliant.
Here we go. Question number one. Which friend of Robin Hood also starred in The West Wing? Which friend?
Christian.
Jamie. Jamie did get in first, Christian, I'm afraid. Just. Jamie?
Oh, no, I don't know.
Jamie loses 20 points. He's got minus 20 because he buzzed without. Christian, you were next.
Funnily enough, it's Christian Slater.
Is correct. Congratulations, Christian Slater.
Oh, I see. Sorry, yeah. Right, gotcha.
Yeah, you forget, don't you? Question number two. Which TV series is also the title of an episode of Homeland Season 5?
Oh, my God.
Wow. Oh, there's Better Call Saul. Jamie, Better Call Saul.
Is correct, Jamie. You now have minus 19.
Jamie, that's really strong.
Minus 19 points for Jamie. Everyone else is still to get off the mark. No, Christian's got a point as well. Which Game of Thrones star also appeared with Tom Cruise in Oblivion?
Fuck.
These are
tough. Who was in Oblivion? It's just him and the girl.
Nicolas Costa Waldau, Jamie Lannister, is in Oblivion.
Is he?
He certainly is.
Is this just a list of things you've watched this week that you've made questions
no,
at?
No, it's not. Some of them are. Okay, last question. Which Walking Dead female also played a receptionist in Modern Family?
I'm disappointed in myself here.
Boo! It's Lauren Cohen, Maggie. She's in Modern Family. Now, the purpose of that quiz was not to show how underqualified everyone on this podcast is to be on this podcast. The purpose of it was to share some interesting facts, and I think we can all agree that if that's all we get done tonight, it was worth it.
You know, I'm disappointed in us, not because we didn't get any answers right, but because none of us buzzed in quickly with a funny answer for the Walking Dead one. No, for the Homeland one, sorry. Yeah, should have said Gilmore Girls.
I'm also now going to try and add my wife to this conversation.
Holy shit.
Otherwise known as the wife.
Just wife, not the...
wife.
Just wife, sorry. She has appeared on it before. Because she's been watching The Walking Dead as well, and it's time now to enter the court of the box set pod and discuss the... And despite the
you
fact
mean Deadwood, you mean?
Dead... What did I say?
You said Walking Dead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Deadwood. Okay, despite the fact that I just spent an hour getting my wife's work phone downloaded with Skype... She is watching TV and is not noticing that her Skype is ringing. in the other room. So let's go to somebody who is new to it. Marcia, why don't you give us the...
Oh, no, don't make me.
Yes. Marcia, give us the the blurb for the TV guide. If someone's not seen this before, set it up for us. What is Deadwood?
It's the late 1800s. There is a place where people are going for the gold rush in America called Deadwood, and it's just kind of a camp at the moment and not a town. So everyone's living in tents and people are selling stuff, and there's lots of people drink whiskey out of shot glasses, and it's really exciting, and it's all very dark, as in like not very light. Like, I don't mean metaphorically dark, I mean like it's quite dark.
And it's on Indian land, so there's no law.
Okay, yes, lawless, like no law in the camp. I've got a warrant. That doesn't count in our camp. And lots of people speak in very gruff voices as well.
Okay, let's go
I'm enjoying it.
Let's go to Jamie now, who'll give us a more succinct version of what Marcia just did.
And first, Marsha, I think you'd do a really good episode of The Drunk History of something. Have you ever seen Drunk History?
Oh, there's no law. There's no law.
So, yeah, Deadwood, it's based on a true place that existed, and it has real-life characters from that time that lived in this place called Deadwood on the frontier of America back when the West was being claimed in the late 1800s. And it revolves around this particular town full of corruption and crime and some characters that arrive there to make their life and start a new beginning and leave their past behind. That's essentially it. That's essentially the plot. Sounds
and there's a swear word every 1 minute, 20 seconds.
Yeah, it's a Western with swears, isn't it?
Thanks, Tiernan. Well, I should have come to you first. It's a Western with swear words.
That's it. Well, it's an HBO Western, therefore swears and boobs. It's got those. It's HBO. It's a Western.
One of the reasons that there's a lot of swearing in it is because the creator
Let's come back to this. Right. Okay. Just that's the setup. Please welcome everyone. Please say hello to my wife, Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. Hello.
It's International Women's Day, so we thought you'd get the wife in.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
We've got two women on now, so we'll get rid of one of them very shortly. So Sarah's... Sarah and I watched the first two episodes of Deadwood last week when we borrowed them off Jamie, and we've got hooked on House of Cards instead. And I wanted to use the format of this podcast to be able to say to Sarah safely and in public, why haven't we carried on with Deadwood? Because I think we should.
Because House of Cards is on, and that is better.
Why is it better? What are the problems that you've experienced with Deadwood? What are the challenges for you? Why don't you reach for it after a day of work?
Because I don't really like it when people dress up and it's old and they talk funny. It's like a super sweary, violent little house on the prairie.
Right. Now, before we get...
And it makes me sleepy as well. It's really dark, and I just find myself shutting my eyes, and then they'll drop the C-bomb, and it's like, what's happened?
Let's go to Jamie on that point about swearing, and then we'll get everybody else's opinions.
I think the language of the show makes it really hard to get into initially. In the same way The Wire has a particular style of language, like this has a very sort of... certain style that is quite hard to, it's very uninclusive initially because you have to sort of listen very carefully to what's being said because it's so elaborate, the language that they use. And yeah, they do use a lot. The writer said the swearing in it is used because back then they would have said "God damn it" or "hell with you." That would have been considered extremely massive swearing language, a lot like "fuck" and such today. So he wanted to make it as extreme in its language to people today as it was back then. That's why it's so swear heavy.
I think that in the in 2000s when they did that, that would have been a point worth making. But now that we're a bit more used to swearing, perhaps I don't think it is as necessary. That's my one criticism of it. Really, is like I don't care about swearing. Swear all you like, but
no. Do you know what really puts me off? No, actually, it doesn't put me off. It's good. It is good. I can tell it will be good, and I will get into it. But don't they all look so? Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this. Don't they all just look so filthy and like? Oh, I bet it absolutely pongs in there.
Yeah, they
I
do
really
look
just think,
dirty.
Oh, if there was smell-o-vision, you know, oh, I bet it's so whiffy. It's well, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, that's a point.
It was for the problem of the Wild West, wasn't it? I mean, I guess not enough shampoo.
I know, but that was a long time ago, and I don't have to put up with that now.
Yeah, as with the swearing, you know, why couldn't they have altered that to be modern day, you know, slightly less filth? Because it would have been that dirty back then, and I think they should have kept without the swearing. They should have been saying hell it or whatever they'd say.
I completely disagree. I feel like it's important to have things. It's like when they had the Great Gatsby film and they had hip-hop and modern music because it was trying to kind of elicit in you the feelings that that music would elicit in you now. And I think the same, if they were all standing around going, gosh darn, we'd be like, oh, bless, aren't they sweet?
Whereas yeah, I agree with that.
C-roms and P-roms, then you're like, whoa, these guys are really down and dirty and they're like improper. And then you get the fancy rich guy and so you have to have that contrast for you to really understand. I think it's
that's your job as an actor. Shakespeare has been going for 400 years, as we all know from listening to my other podcast. 400 years. They don't change the fucking words in it just to fucking stir everyone up for fucking.
Yeah, it's one of the things that
when you know, like when they suddenly go, right, we're going to update this, but we still want you to believe it's in the Wild West, and it automatically kind of creates a boundary for me where I go, well, if it's in the Wild West, why are they swearing like it is 2004.
Yeah,
it feels jarring.
I disagree with you completely. I think one of the great things about these dramas is that they have no language barrier whatsoever. And it's like I agree with what Marsha and Jamie are saying in that if you take them out, then these people who are down and dirty just don't seem down and dirty. You can't do it without swears.
Well, I think that only works if you take everything to that extent. So we should be seeing absolutely pornographic sex when there's a sex scene.
Now there's your problem.
Well, also,
now, obviously,
I mean,
you should be seeing willies going in and out of people.
That's what it should be called.
Why not?
Stop it, Howard.
No, I don't want that. I don't want that to happen. I'm saying that that surely follows on. That's the same logic, isn't it?
I think there's also like
it isn't.
Why?
For Late, which is set in a similar time period. There is swearing in that, but it's not to the gratuitous extent that it is in Deadwood, and so it kind of works. It's got more impact, but they also use a lot more swearing of the time.
I don't mind the swearing. I'm saying, like Tiernan did, that it creates, it takes me out of it because I go, well, look, the truth is HBO has always tried to be cool. And when they made this, because they haven't got any barriers, they introduced a shitload of swearing that none of the cable channels could introduce. And they knew that when they wrote it, so they were allowed to do all that.
Now, the biggest barrier, surely, is getting over that it's Lovejoy. That's the biggest barrier.
Yeah. There's no barrier whatsoever. Ian McShane is a barrel full of fun in this show. I really enjoyed it.
Stuff he's got in Deadwood for like 100 years, and it'll be an antique.
Say that again, Tiernan.
If his character in Deadwood just kept all the stuff he had in Deadwood for 100 or so years, he'd sell it to himself as luxury.
That's very
good. On that, can I say I thought they did something very good with Ian McShane in Deadwood in that as soon as
Jamie, stop breathing into your microphone with your nose. You keep doing it. I've got to call you out on it. I'm sorry. Marsha.
As soon as they introduce Ian McShane, one of them is like, are you with your English relatives? And I feel like straight off the bat, it's like, oh, if his accent's a little bit weird, that's why. That was something, I love The Wire, but one thing I had a huge problem with was Dominic West's accent all the way through, the way he said Voldemort, and the fact that all the way through I was like, you're putting on an American accent and I'm not convinced by it. And so I like that they gave him a reason to sound a little bit English.
I had no idea he was English.
He's the Irish guy.
Really?
Actually, Irish.
No, nor did I until a couple of seasons in.
No. Really?
Not at all.
No idea. What, who's and somebody's who is playing with a zipper? Doing like a zipper noise, a weird. This podcast,
not
for
me.
So many reasons, is just unlistenable to. By the way, Matt, why do you disagree with my point that if we have to update the language, we should also, if we're trying to be brutal and shock people, then prostitutes in a bar, we should.
No. You're missing the point. We're not trying to be brutal and shock people, but when people are attempting to be brutal and shocking, if they don't have the necessary ammunition to do it, it doesn't work. Whereas the stuff that's still that's shocking in sex is still shocking now, pretty much.
Is it?
Yeah, and if anything, they were kind of worse back then than they are now.
It's really weird how they want to be shocking with the language, but then, like, the violence...
No, they don't want to be shocking with the language.
Oh,
you're missing
the
point.
They don't want to be shocking.
They want the people who are shocking
that
to be shocking.
Would have had.
Exactly.
Have the same impact. Yeah, but it... I don't know, it feels at odds then with the fact that the rest of the show is toned down in some ways. Like, I thought the violence was... You know, they didn't show so much.
But they're not trying to be shocking with the violence. No. And they're not trying to be shocking with the language. They're just allowing it to have the status that it should do in the world that it's in. Because if you hear someone saying, gosh darn it, heck, you don't feel the same as when they say cocksucker.
Why?
And because that's the language that we're accustomed to.
If they performed it brilliantly, you would, wouldn't you? If they said it with the kind of venom and then shot someone in the face.
No, I disagree. I think it's one of the things that holds soap operas back, that they can't swear at each other. It seems ridiculous in a world like EastEnders that no one swears at all because they're all fucking dickheads.
Well, I think
Howell, are they trying to convince us or meant to be convincing us to carry on?
Matt and Tiernan are both in the new camp. Everybody apart from Jamie and Jack are in the new new watchers camp. So we haven't even really heard from them yet. We're just
hung up on swearing.
I think, let's get over the swears. What else is there?
Yeah, get over it, Matt. Christian, your first opinions.
It wasn't for me.
was it the swearing, Christian?
I didn't really care about the swearing. The swearing was fine. I'm disappointed. I feel sorry for Marcia that she only watched like 45 minutes of it. She didn't get to see the boobs at the end.
There's a brief full frontal in the second episode as well, actually.
Yeah. Well, now I'm persuaded to watch the second episode. But I Westerns aren't really for me, I don't think. I'm not really a Western-y person. I liked A Million Ways to Die in the West, and that's about it.
Okay, Christian, you're coming from the same view as Sarah. Sarah put it by saying she doesn't really like people getting dressed up and getting on wagons. You're not a fan of the genre of Western. Agree with that?
I would like to add to that I totally wasn't, and probably wouldn't have enjoyed this as much a year ago, but having watched Carnival, which is another HBO show that I'm trying to get on the box set for,
always got a friggin' agenda.
Then but having watched that, and that show is so exciting and drags you right in, mm-hmm. I feel like my brain was prepped, and so I'm poised and ready to enjoy Deadwood.
We've almost heard from everybody who's watched it for the first time now. We need to hear from Tiernan, and then Jamie and Jack can try and deal with our issues.
Right, yeah, I don't know if I want to watch any more of it. I like bits of it. I think it's really... I don't know. I think I'd have enjoyed it more if I'd watched it in 2004. I think it's been ruined for me by TV since, that has shot things better and has better scripts and has kind of invested more realism in things. I sort of felt like Deadwood seemed a bit like something you might watch on the Hallmark Channel in the 90s for me. There's just something that felt too kind of fake about it and kind of forced about it. And the language did really jar with me. Not even... I didn't find the swearing offensive. Let's not go over that again. But it was more that it felt like lazy writing, that it was every other word. I mean, there was a point... I was watching it with my girlfriend and she just at one point went... What is going on? And I thought, that really sums it up. I don't really know.
Yeah. Okay. I did enjoy it. I do really want to carry on watching it. I also am not reaching for it. I'm watching Parks and Rec and the House of Cards religiously because they've hooked me. Jamie, Jack, it's over to you. Jamie, Westerns are shit. That's what Christian says. He ain't going to touch it.
Are we just assuming that I don't like it? Well, it's what?
No, we're assuming that you said you like it, didn't you?
Did I?
Yeah.
I don't even remember doing that.
Oh, I thought you said
I did.
Like it.
Yeah, there you go.
But for the sake of drama, Matt, just for once in your life, say that you don't like something. Jesus Christ. Jamie, it's just a Western. Westerns are boring and annoying and costume drama.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say, I just don't think the story is so good when you get into it that it doesn't matter if you like Westerns or you hate the language. You just, the characters and the story are so good. I can't, it's so clearly like The Wire for me, in that this is a show that you can like take a few run-ups at and you might miss it and you won't get into it. But I know people who've had run-ups of The Wire and gone at it like 3 or 4 times and they've not got into it, and then eventually they've got past 2 or 3 episodes and they love it. And that's exactly what it's like with Deadwood. It's once you get past the all the things that you've mentioned are just like the superficial stuff that initially will put you off anything, especially this show. It's the language, and it looks cheap, and it looks dated. But when you get past all of that, you've got really good characters and a really, really compelling story. I can't tell you how good Ian McShane is in this show. It's like,
I freaking loved Ian McShane. Brilliant.
He's an amazing, and his character's journey in this show, from, you know, from where he goes to start with,
Sarah,
is an amazing.
That's your
journey.
Microphone, Sarah.
Yeah.
Your microphone. Keep it still.
I haven't moved.
Yes, you have, because your name pops up when your microphone's making a noise, and it's just popping up whenever that noise happens. The microphone bit that's dangling down is dragging on something. So,
do you know that we're actually recording this in separate rooms? Because we love each other so much.
Always in separate rooms.
May I interject at this point just briefly, and then I'll bugger off and you can...
Yeah.
I think Jamie is probably right. I think it's probably very good, and we do have to get past all of those things. And I do hate it when you slate things because, you know, we're just plebs with a spare hour, and they're people trying to do something and make something with their lives, and who are we to slag it off? However, I feel that it was... a lot of us have just probably kind of missed the boat on it. There are so many other things now that are better that it's just not worth our time. So
that's what it feels like, Jamie.
Jack, do you want to take a pop at this?
I can understand it. It is a bit of a hard seller, and it's a bit of an undertaking from the start because there's a ton of characters to go off with, and the fact that it's a bit of a slow burner as well.
Are you the one that hated Kimmy Schmidt last week?
Oh, God. Cannot stand it.
Yeah, you're trying to... You wouldn't even watch another 21-minute episode thing, and you're trying to persuade us to embark on Deadwood, Jack. Why did you love it so much?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say I try and persuade you to start it, because I can understand where you're all coming from with the... There's better things that are out there now.
Jesus,
and it is
Christ,
a bit...
Jack.
Jack, you're supposed to be defending it.
I know, but I'm just trying to be honest.
All right, Jack's saying don't bother. Jamie, Jack's saying essentially...
It's just a bit complex and a bit sort of, like you said, a bit Neo-Shakespeare.
Jamie's
okay,
on his
right.
own in the corner.
Just ignore Jack, okay? Remember he hated Kimmy Schmidt. I don't know why. I thought you were my wingman. What the hell are you doing?
I can say that it is fantastic. And the actors in it, like you said, Ian McShane, brilliant. But what's the name of it?
I want to flip this around. I want to ask Christian, the man who hates Westerns. Christian, what would make you carry on watching this, apart from the promise of full frontal and stuff? What serious answer, what is it about, you know, what would you have to hear that this is?
I was a big fan of Boardwalk Empire and stuff like that, so it isn't that I'm not a fan of, you know, period dramas and stuff like that. Mm. period dramas. But I think there's too many characters being introduced in the first episode, I think. So I didn't get a sense that I cared for any of them too much. So I would like to have seen an episode where it concentrated on fewer characters, and we actually had a the beginning of a story to draw you in. There's no sort of focus there in the story, you know, to draw people in. I don't think it's too vague. If I had a sense that there was going to be a longer term sort of narrative there, that I would keep tuning in.
How many episodes have you watched?
I've just watched one.
I mean, that's a big ask from the first episode.
Yeah, isn't that the case with everything?
Yeah, with anything that good. Because I get the sense that this was a very piloty pilot, where it's like there's really a lot of setup and establishment going on about the world, trying to get everyone's names and try and do broad stroke versions of who people are. And the only thing that worries me about this show is Timothy Oliphant, because I don't particularly like him. But the rest of it. Yeah, he's like the marshal from Kansas.
Well. Oh, he's the main character.
You see, I actually liked him. I thought he was good.
Yeah. What's wrong with him, Matt?
Like he should be in the Wild West.
He constantly looks like someone is doing something that he's not entirely happy with to his anus.
Matt, you never fail to amaze me. I mean, I really liked him, so much so that I looked him up on IMDb. You have no, you never failed to really, you know, well, I like Disney, but that Mickey Mouse is a bit of a dick.
Well, I mean, you've just made the exact statement about Disney. Mickey Mouse is the worst character in the Disney library.
Actually, that is a good point. Yeah.
Timothy Oliphant, just look at him. Watch his face. In every scene, he's just like, oh, that feels a bit uncomfortable. Just like someone's pulling something, a little like a walnut out of his ass.
I've had that happen. And on that, let's say goodbye to my wife. See you, Sarah.
It's been goodbye, illuminating. Sarah. I'm off to watch The Secret Life of the Zoo. Bye.
Has anyone been watching The Secret Life of the Zoo?
Oh, well, we're doing this at the time, aren't we?
You should record it. It's amazing. Don't do this podcast. Go on. It's amazing. When Jamie gave us the DVD, Sarah and I pulled up in the car, and Jamie came out with a Tesco bag full of Deadwood and gave it us through the window. And when he did, he said, Ian McShane is one of... You will just grow to love Ian McShane, the character. Right? And in the first episode there, Ian McShane has essentially... sanctioned rape, murder, and potentially the death of children, murder of children.
I'm all over him. I love him.
How can I... it's a big ask for me to start to like this guy, Jamie.
But isn't that exactly what House of Cards does? Like, the best shows...
Yeah, and Breaking Bad.
The best shows make you like the knobhead in the show, and that's what the best shows are able to do. I know this is a tough show to get into.
None of them have murdered children in those other examples, can I just say?
I understand that you probably... If you've got other things that you're loving to watch at the moment, then you're probably not going to give this a proper go because you're not going to invest in it. Hello! Who's that?
Who's that?
It's Ian McShane!
That's my pizza.
Is that Matt's pizza?
Yes, it is.
Matt, ask the delivery person if it's in Deadwood.
I thought Jamie had just won the show.
Oh, he's just gone.
Can't hear us.
Gone. He's got to climb out of the basement.
The pizza needs delivering down there.
Oh, sweet pizza.
Sweet pizza. That's okay. Disgusting.
What I'm saying with Deadwood is when you get to a point, which we all do, when you run out of good TV shows to watch, when you're, I don't know what to watch now, I'm really struggling to find a show I want to watch. House of Cards is finished. This is finished. I can't watch that. If there's nothing left, then this is when you should go, I want to try Deadwood and give it a really bloody good go. Because I promise you, if you do invest in it, gives a whole lot back.
Why did you never get into marketing, Jamie? That's a phenomenal sell. When you've got literally nothing left, when you've got nothing left, try Deadwood.
But I know what he's saying. I've got to be honest, I only saw 3/4 of the first episode, but versus the 5 episodes I watched, you're going to kill me for this, of The West Wing, I'm more inclined to watch Deadwood than I am The West Wing.
Oh, I've been watching The West Wing again recently. Every time I watch it. Can I just a sidebar momentarily? I've realised recently that I'm watching about 4 box sets that I'm really hooked on that there's no way I would be watching if it wasn't for this podcast. Is there anyone else on this podcast who can say that I've actually stuck with something after we've discussed it? Yeah, you're all slackers.
You know what? There's nothing that I've actually been in the court for, but there are stuff that this podcast has brought to me that I wouldn't have watched otherwise.
Okay, fair enough.
I watched 5 episodes of The West Wing.
Yeah, I just started watching The Night Manager because you mentioned it the other week, and that's really... That's a really good Tom Hiddleston audition for Bond.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Oh, yeah. And, very, very good.
Ben really, really can't understand why I liked that, and I've not seen part two yet. I don't think part two is as good as part one. But anyway, the point is, what I have learned is, Jack, if you actually stick with it, if you actually go with the prescription of the group and just sacrifice your own boredom just for a few episodes or something, I'm watching some of the best stuff I have ever watched, thanks
like
to
what?
You lot. Like Parks
like
and Rec.
Kimmy fucking Schmidt.
You've watched 17
Jesus
minutes.
God.
We can't. I mean, it was hard enough to believe anything that you said before last week, and now you've let us all down. Jack, you've got to do some serious ass kissing for the next couple of weeks.
I'll do some
so Parks and Rec, Marsha, definitely. The
Amazing.
Walking Dead. I'm like sucking out of the TV whenever there's a new episode. I absolutely love it. I've watched and both of those are a lot of series.
Yeah, I think sometimes the argument in the court just needs to be trust me.
And I think in this case, I'm going to go with it because, you know, Jamie's never given me a bad reference before. I think Deadwood might be a good idea. Matt and Christy and Marsha sound like they enjoyed it more than the rest of us. Matt, are you going to carry on watching this? And
you know what? I would really like to, but the problem for me is that it's not readily available anywhere.
Oh, you had to borrow it off someone episode one.
Well, yeah, technically.
Make sure you give it back now.
Of course, of course. I've already given it to Marsha. So, yeah. But no, I would really like to watch it. I'm more interested in watching this than I am the next two series of House of Cards.
You can't make any statement without annoying me, can you, Matt? You're doing so well. You're doing so well. Okay, and is anyone else going to continue? Well, I definitely am, because I've got the DVDs from Jamie.
I might do if there is nothing else, if I don't have anything else to watch. But there's loads to watch.
Yeah, I think
with such high praise for this show. Oh.
The problem
if
is,
been,
Jamie, when
if
are
I've had
we
nothing
ever
to do for 6 hours,
yeah,
I might watch an episode of Deadwood.
When are we ever going to have nothing to watch now, though? That's the problem. No.
Well, I'll tell you, I recently found myself thinking I've watched a lot and I was struggling to find stuff to watch. And this is a perfect time where I would have taken on a Deadwood style mission, because I know that patience is so thin when you've got a lot of other stuff you're really enjoying, that if you're watching a show that it requires investment and requires you to get through stuff that you might initially not like, you're not going to do it unless you've maybe not got a lot of other great stuff around you to watch.
I don't know whether it was because I was thinking about who was going to speak next before, but I still don't feel like you've told me where it's going to take me and why I should get there.
Deadwood, the place Deadwood, is a fascinating world of characters, and you come to know that community of people, especially Al Swearengen, aka Ian McShane. You come to know them and you come to like care about this little community as they try and build into an actual civilized place to live. You kind of imagine yourself like, how would I survive in this era? What would my role be in this particular world? And like, and that sort of environment, and you get used to the mud, you get used to that world, and you get used to seeing like them try and evolve this sort of lawless town into something that's got laws and has got politicians and sheriffs. And you see how a whole community and town grows from this horrible pillaging beginning.
Sold.
Yay!
Well done,
man in Ireland.
That's very you're very convincing.
There we go. You see,
yeah, that's a good job, Jamie. That's a good job.
Yeah, that was good. And I'll tell you why I am fascinated by it and why I'm going to carry on, because I love that bit of the world, the whole Vegas Wild West thing. And when Jamie and I were in, and I'm fascinated by its beginnings because it's so brutal, and it's still brutal, that bit of America. And when we went to Vegas, and I think you can find this on YouTube if you search for it, Howell and Jamie Vegas. We found ourselves at a ranch, and when we were there, it's a long story, but we were lassoing Jamie from a horse. And
was it a brothel?
It wasn't a brothel. We were at a beautiful ranch. It was called the Sunnyside Ranch, I think.
Yeah, Sunnyside.
Sounds like a brothel.
Sunny Valley, I think. Anyway, it does Sunny Valley Cat House. They're one of the most, one of the kindest, most beautiful hosts. They were just lovely.
Yep, sounds like a brothel.
It's not a brothel.
It's lovely girls. Got Jamie on a horse and lassoed him.
The old couple that ran it were two of the friendliest farmers that I've ever met. And while we were there, they were so hospitable. They gave us nachos and a number of other things. And we sat there and I played the piano. I played Lionel Richie Easy while Jamie sang it for them in a cowboy suit.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. And we had a proper hoedown. They loved it. Anyway, a guy turned up there in like a 4x4 and he was a friend of theirs who was sitting around watching us sing. And his job was still, to this day, to issue the stakes when people stake a claim in the ground.
Wow.
So now, though, it's like massive Chinese businessmen that are paying billions for like a piece of someone's land, and they will still drill for oil there. They'll still then dig for oil. So it still goes on. And this was the beginning of that. It was the gold rush era. Everyone came from different parts of America and the world on the promise of gold. When they got there, they found out it was a fucking mess. And so it really does interest me how it goes from that to whatever the civilized version of that became.
Yeah, I probably undersold it before, I have to add. And it has got some fantastic actors in it, you know, like you were saying with Ian McShane, and Charlie Utter from Sons of Anarchy is in it. The only actress that I cannot stand in it is Anna Gunn.
Anna Gunn.
Oh, from, of course, Breaking Bad. Yeah, she turns up in it. Everyone hates her in anything.
Oh.
Was she Walter White's wife?
Yeah, Skyler.
Oh, yeah. I thought she was pretty good in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Nearly everybody hated her in Breaking Bad.
Well, she was good at being a really hateable character.
She was... Hang on a minute.
She wasn't hateable. She was the innocent.
She was the wife of... She was the wife of a fascist, and you're siding with the fascist.
No, the one who was annoying was her sister.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was supposed to be annoying.
She was a dick.
You were supposed to... Yeah. You were supposed to like the other one.
If you are interested in the origins of the West, then Ken Burns, who's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
The godfather of... TV documentary, made a 8-part series called The West, all about the origins. And I haven't seen it, but my TV buddy is obsessed with it and says it's one of the most amazing things he's ever watched.
Oh, I want to eat all
of
it.
Have you seen it, Jamie?
I've not seen it. It's on Netflix, but I have seen he's done a Civil War one, which is amazing as well. He is like the godfather. He's just an amazing documentary maker, and I'm going to watch that West one. Yeah.
Did you say that The West is on Netflix?
Yes. Yeah, I think so, because I've got
it's on Netflix over here, so...
Yeah, I think it is.
That's fantastic.
Is it PBS?
Yeah, PBS.
Yeah, I have watched that. It's good.
It's good. I want to watch it.
It's not as high production values or as much swearing as the other one.
Can I ask, did everyone like There Will Be Blood?
Yes, I did.
This made me feel a little bit similar to that. It didn't feel as good as that, but it felt similar.
There Will Be Blood was frigging slow, and it insisted upon itself quite a lot.
Oh, but it was monstrously good. It was so good.
Yeah, it was all right. Need to work.
You're a prick. Oh, God.
I could guess the films that Matt loves. Let's think. Just think of the longest. Lawrence of Arabia.
No, I'm not a big Lawrence of Arabia fan. I like it.
Okay. Right. Any final points? Marsha, will you carry on with Deadwood?
I think so. I recently found myself where Jamie was, where I had nothing to watch, but now suddenly I have a stack of things I want to watch. Like, it's on my list for sure. And also, I have to say, something else I loved about it, which your West Wing did not do for me, is the first 5 minutes were terribly exciting. Straight off the bat, I was like, that's a really good thing to do.
Please, will you finish season one of West Wing, for God's sake? Please.
I just
We're begging
found it
you.
Such a
Yeah, but when people say to you, right, let me tell you what frustrates me the most about people like you and people like Jack, right?
What?
Is that if someone came to you with a bucket of sand, right, and they said, 12 inches down in that bucket of sand, there is a diamond worth £1 million and you can have it. It's yours, right? And you put your hand in 6 inches and said, I can't be bothered. Going on, but no, it's just another 6 inches.
I watched five episodes.
I know, but we told you that you have to do the series.
I went past your... No, you told me I had to watch four episodes. I watched five. I went past your rule. I see that it's good. I see that it's terribly clever, but I just find it exhausting. And I think if I was watching it, like, I find the patrioticness insufferable, the music insufferable.
No, but we told you this. Marcia, we told you. Listen back to your podcast. We've said a number of times.
Howell, one man's diamond is another man's dog.
No, it's not. Otherwise, we said the patriotism's annoying.
That would be the diamond
annoying.
Industry would be a terrible state.
We have said all of those things. When you came back to talk about the West Wing the week after, we so said to you, you must complete season one. I remember. And we gave you, we told you before you even watched it that the things you'd object to are the music and the patriotism.
Yeah, no, it's true that you told me, but that doesn't make me not object to it. Doesn't make it not true.
It doesn't, yeah, but you can't tell me the diamond isn't there. You're telling me the diamond isn't there.
Do you know what, Marcia, can I make one suggestion for this?
Yes, please.
Watch the final episode of series one. Just watch it.
Even if I've only watched up until number five.
Good idea.
Don't need it. Just watch the final episode of series one, and then see if you want to watch one and two of series two, which are probably my two favourite episodes.
For once, Matt has made a good suggestion.
Yeah,
because
I'll do it.
What it'll also do is prove to you, Marcia, that you don't need to follow every bloody word and every plot line. You know, you can jump in and out of this thing. Christian, go.
Okay.
I think the West Wing is too good for Marcia.
It's just so good, and it just upsets me because I know how much by the end of season six you will be saying it's amazing. That's the thing. Oh, how did we get onto bloody West Wing again?
You started shouting.
You, Howell.
My fault, was it?
Howell, your point then about not going... not giving things enough of a chance, is that not what everybody on this podcast is guilty of doing with Peaky Blinders?
No, because we haven't started it.
I haven't given it any chance.
Yeah, we haven't started it
there
yet.
There you go.
The purpose.
I might watch an episode. I might watch to be controversial.
Well, we are watching an episode. I'm told it's very good. But the point, Jack, is that at least Marcia went up to the four episode rule, which is the whole point of the bloody podcast. You went to 17 minutes. Now I'm equally as angry at you as I am at Marcia and her patriotism. Jesus Christ almighty.
Lack of patriotism.
Lack of. Listen, let's all enjoy Deadwood or not, as the case may be. Jack, you've got 2 weeks. We're not going to be here for another 2 weeks now. And Jack needs to watch four episodes of Kimmy Schmidt. It's just an experiment. It's not, it's work, Jack. I know I'm not paying you, but it's work. Okay, just do it and see how you feel. That's it. Matt's going to carry on with Deadwood if he can get hold of it.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Christian is kind of tempted because of the historical context.
Yes.
And the boobs.
And the boobs. Tiernan, I'm not sure, he's an enigma, Tiernan. What do you think, Tiernan?
I might give it the... If I can find the episodes, I'll give it the four-episode go, I think.
Okay.
Definitely. I mean, if only for Ian McShane, he's excellent in that first episode. I would keep watching it.
And Marcia?
It's on my list.
It's on the list. Okay. Yeah. Fine. What is top of your list, by the way?
Well, I saw three episodes into Love, and I think I'm going to ditch it because I hate the main character so much. And,
no, please watch it. I want to hear what you say about it.
But you were the one that told me he was awful, continues to be awful. I just hate him.
We'll
so
deal with
much.
This another time. We'll deal with Love, definitely.
Man versus Woman. I watched one episode. I absolutely loved it. Jay Baruchel, Lorne Michaels produced, like funny and weird. And then also the new season of Broad City, which please can we get... I know Jamie just started watching
it. Oh, it's very, very good. Oh, yeah, I'm impressed. Brilliant.
So there's third season's out. And also Louis C.K.'s new thing, which I haven't started watching yet.
It's really good as well. Really good.
Yeah, I need to do that. You have to pay $5 or something, do you?
Yeah, the first one's $5, and then it's $2, $3. So he changes it each week.
I feel like we should talk about that because I feel like it's so important for the future of TV. So,
Marcia, it's so difficult to talk to you. Well, it's so difficult. It's like talking to Jack about Kimmy. It's like,
what are you talking about? She's absolutely right.
Yeah, but everything she says. lacks this West Wing and Mad Men shaped hole. Like, she doesn't have those things. She's no frame of reference as to how good anything is, because she hasn't watched Mad Men or West Wing.
Or Breaking Bad.
You may as well be Jack. I bet Jack hasn't watched those two things either, Jack.
Nope, or The Wire. Not watched that either.
Marsha, you're in his gang.
Red Rag Club.
I'm very proud of that as well, Jack.
Thanks for persuading us to watch it, Jamie. Jack.
No probs.
Interesting. And everybody else, thanks very much. See you in 2 weeks. We were going to be talking about Peaky Blinders, but we're not now.
Oh,
so
please.
There's no way, Jack. There's no way you're going to beg six people, in fact, about 12 people to watch it. There's no way.
How many episodes is there in the series of Kimmy Schmidt?
I don't know.
You only have to watch four, Jack.
You only have to watch the four.
If I watch a season, can we do Peaky Blinders next time?
Ooh.
I'm in.
You can.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Thank you.
Fine. All right. If you want it.
You know, I'm going to watch Peaky Blinders anyway. I'm curious now.
Email us with your opinion, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Goodbye, and hang around just one more moment because you'll hear Matt's squeaky basement door where he's returning now to his torture victims. See you next time. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Matt Wandless. Hang on, he just appeared. He just appeared. There he is.
The basement.
He's back. There he is.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Oh, he's out of the basement.